Thanks for listening to the Best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
There weren't very many people who correctly predicted that Kawhi Leonard was going to head to the LA Clippers, but one of them was Jason Whitlock, and I'm sure we're never going to hear the end of this now that Whitlock was one of the few media prognosticators to get this right. Where were you as we had our second earthquake in Los Angeles? Were you awake? Did you have notifications set up on your phone? How did you become aware of this this news on late Friday night in L.A.?
I was awake because of the earthquakes and watching TV, and then I went into a bedroom where my TV was still on ESPN, and I saw it at the bottom of the screen, or I saw Linda Cohn talking about it, and, you know, was just ecstatic and just like, damn, nailed it. And, you know, I felt pretty good about my feeling on it, but to see it come true, and, you know, look, I am going to ride this for a while. You keep saying one of the few. Who are the other people that nailed it?
I don't know. I'm sure there's other people out there, but I don't.
Mean, so I was the only one. All right, go ahead.
It's possible you were the only one. And we talked about this. Like, the Clippers stayed totally under the radar, and they didn't get any attention at all during this process. And many people said it was down to the Raptors and it was down to the Lakers. What made you think that the Clippers were still alive and might be able to make a play for Kawhi?
Because Kawhi Leonard had made it crystal clear he wanted to come home to Los Angeles. So that's one factor. The second factor, it just became like, okay, if he wants to come home, the Lakers have AD and LeBron. What's the delay? Just say, hey, I'm going to the Lakers. And then I also believe that Toronto got lucky winning the World Championship. And I think that Kawhi Leonard, no, he'll never say it, but I think Kawhi Leonard knows they got lucky. It took a boatload of injuries for Golden State to lose that title. It took one of the greatest, luckiest shots in the history of basketball for Toronto to make it out of the second round and beat Philadelphia. I think Kawhi Leonard's smart enough to look around at that team that he had around him in Toronto. I was like, man, run this back. We can't win another championship here. And plus, there was just no reason, if he was headed back to Toronto, why the delay? And so if the guy wants to go to L.A., and he keeps delaying, it just kept making more and more sense, he's just giving the Clippers time to get a second superstar, a second star to play alongside him. It just made perfect, to me, obvious sense that he was giving Jerry West and the Clippers time to get a deal done.
All right, let's unpack what this all means. First of all, the city of Los Angeles now is the epicenter for one of the best rivalries we have ever seen in terms of one city, right? And maybe it's the best rivalry we've ever seen in terms of one city, with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard on one side for the Clippers and with LeBron and with Anthony Davis on the other side for the Lakers. You have to buy stock in one team right now. Who do you like and why?
No, I'm all in on the Clippers. I just think Kawhi just having the balls to do this and not joining LeBron and forming some super team and basically, you know, I'm going to come into the same building and I'm going to declare war. I'm going to help take you out. I just think it's tremendous. So I like what Kawhi Leonard's doing, and I don't think we've ever seen, it's not since Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, where we have seen two athletic perimeter defenders at their level, Kawhi and Paul George together. That reminds me of Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan. And so I just think they're, you know, LeBron's going to be 35, so they're younger than the duo Anthony Davis and LeBron James. I love the Clippers coaching situation with Doc Rivers. I think that's superior. And then I just look at all the depth. Listen, if Kawhi had gone to the Clippers by themselves, I thought they were a championship team. And I think adding Paul George, another shot maker, to Lou Williams and Patrick Beverley and Montrezl Harrell and just all the pieces they have, I just think the Clippers are far better and potentially could turn into a dynasty.
I am fascinated by Kawhi Leonard, and I want you to follow me along this path and see if you agree. Because in so much of the decision-making that he seems to embody in this modern NBA, he is zagging where everybody else is zigging, right? I think the fact that he has almost no social media presence, I think the fact that his team kept totally silent throughout this process and there weren't tons of leaks surrounding it, that he didn't want to be a member of a super team with LeBron and Anthony Davis, that he quietly recruited. There are reports that he tried to get Kevin Durant to join him. There are other reports, obviously, that he was the linchpin in making this Paul George thing happen, that he was on the phone with Paul George making these arguments and he got Paul George to believe into what he was arguing. I mean, isn't there a strong take here that Kawhi is in many ways the anti-LeBron James, and that people out there listening to us right now and anybody who's a sports fan in general, that often creates a great deal of interest by itself. If you think about golf, you know, you were a Tiger or you were a Phil guy. Back in the day, you were a Magic Johnson or you were a Larry Bird guy. Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning. We've had a lot of times when the stars of the league have been kind of different guys, right? They're individual, the way, the vibe that they carry and everything else. I think there's a possibility in the city of Los Angeles we have this now. Are you buying into that idea?
Here's what I buy into. I'm not going to call him the anti-LeBron because I think people will take it as a negative and that is a shot at LeBron.
Yeah.
However, having said that, he is completely different than LeBron in a way that I like. This dude is committed to basketball. He's not trying to be a movie star. He's not trying to be sitting on a TV show and talking to Drake and all the other things that LeBron is doing. And there's a lot of people that think like that doing all the other things that LeBron does is a positive. I don't. I think that you max out as an athlete, and then you transition into these other things when your career is over. Trying to do it all right now in the middle of your career is why I believe LeBron James is going to retire from the NBA with 3 titles. And so I don't think he will have maxed out his career. And everybody can say, oh, he went to 9 straight finals. He was sitting in a week in Eastern Conference, and every year he went to the finals. That's great. The league is just on how many championships did you win. He's going to underachieve because I think he's tried to do too much and not in the proper order. And so I love that Kawhi Leonard's like, you know what? I'm going to max out as a basketball player. This could potentially, the Clippers could be the 3rd different team he leads to the NBA Finals and a title. That would be amazing. Last week, and I'm going to have to walk this back this week, last week I argued that Kawhi Leonard was somewhat limited on how big of an NBA superstar he could be and where he'll finish as an all-time great. I compared him to John Havlicek. After this move, and if he has success with the Clippers, because having success with the Clippers, if he wins a title this year and ends up destroying LeBron James, the end of the LeBron James' career, this dude was going to put himself in the argument as one of the 5 greatest players in NBA history, and it's mind-blowing. And he's done it in a completely different way than LeBron James, and I do think there will be some people very attracted to that and respected. I think this has been great for the NBA to have these 2 guys and these 2 teams in the same city, in the same building. It's going to be a great storyline.
Let's go back to the news of this breaking. There were a lot of experts out there giving all sorts of different opinions, all sorts of different takes. It's rare when we have the odds markets. For instance, the Clippers were 20-1. They're now the favorite to win the NBA title. A lot of times this stuff leaks. I am still just so impressed, and I want to walk you through this, and we talked about it a lot so far in the show. But you had a guy like Paul George demand a trade, request a trade, whatever you want to say. Usually that's a major story that gets out. You had the Oklahoma City Thunder trying to get him traded. You had the LA Clippers working to put together this move. They have this secret meeting in Malibu. Evidently, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard met in person. LA is a huge media market. Everybody out there is chasing this story. And yet none of this gets out at all. I'm really kind of astounded by the discipline of Kawhi's team and everybody else in that was involved in this trade and this story, that none of it ever got out publicly before we got the announcement around 11 o'clock Pacific time on Friday night.
I'm going to go a different direction, Clay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go a different direction. I think what it speaks to, quite honestly, you know, as a journalist, I'm saying this, and just as a 52-year-old grown man, the reason why stuff leaks is because people want it out there.
Yeah.
There's this myth that there's these great journalists who talk sources into giving up information, and that used to be the case, but not now. Because of everything is access journalism, information is being exchanged, quid pro quo, for you, I'm going to give you this information, you're going to cover me this way. And so all this proves to me is that this information that we get, all the rumors and gossip, is because people want it out there. If you don't want it out there, it's not that hard. Don't tell people. And, you know, if you don't want the paparazzi to see you and to videotape where you are, it's a lot easier to avoid than the way people make it seem. And so all this alleged great journalism and blah, blah, it's all a bunch of BS. It's all orchestrated. I'm going to give you the information. I'm going to be here at a certain time. Take pictures of me here. The stuff's all orchestrated, man.
It is kind of fascinating the way this goes out. Now, do you think, having said that, Magic Johnson, immediately as soon as Kawhi calls him, it's like he tells everybody that Kawhi called him.
Yeah, his ego.
Yeah, yep. He needs to be in the center of the story. We certainly had the Raptors, like with Drake and everybody else. I mean, it was impossible not to know everywhere that Kawhi was going with the cameras that were following him. Do you think that Kawhi's people use that a little bit as a test to see whether or not other, like the Clippers were clearly the team that was talking the least by far. Do you think that ultimately was the reason they were able to get this done, that Kawhi wanted to see who he could trust?
No. And again, I could be wrong here, but I think that Kawhi Leonard, once LeBron James arrived with the Lakers and Kawhi Leonard said he wanted to play in Los Angeles, I think it was always the Clippers. Because I don't think he wanted to team up with LeBron James. He's, you know, I'll quote my favorite television show. It's like from The Wire, the character Marlowe, he didn't want to team up with the Barksdale crew. He wanted to be the king. And so he's like, no, I'm good, man. Yeah, y'all keep doing what y'all going to do. I'm going to do my own thing. That's who Kawhi Leonard is. I think it was always the Clippers. And that's why the Clippers didn't put a bunch of information out there, weren't interested in leaking things. They were going about the work necessary to secure Kawhi Leonard, and that was trading for a Paul George or getting Kevin Durant or whatever. They were about doing the work. Everybody else, the late arrogance perhaps and incompetence on the Lakers' part, thinking, well, surely to God he won't go play for the Clippers. Their organization's brand is trash. And then Toronto sitting there thinking, well, maybe he'll stay here to run it back and, you know, we'll defend our title. But I really think the guy early on decided it was the Clippers, and the Clippers just had to stand pat, do their job, and not make any noise. And it was, I won't say it was, because it certainly wasn't easy, but I just don't think they had any problem staying in between those white lines because they were in the driver's seat.
How much do you love this story? I mean, like, let's just take a step back and think in general about the NBA. Oftentimes we've had one dynasty after another. There hasn't necessarily been that much drama. We got a long time till the season actually kicks off. I'm thrilled about this, right? I think Kawhi to the Clippers and the drama that we've created just in LA, all the different teams that could have a chance, all the different moving parts. I mean, I think the NBA got this as good. Like, if you're Adam Silver, you have to be ecstatic, right?
You would think, and they certainly should be. To me, there have been, you know, the only storylines, and again, this doesn't reach that level yet. It's got to play out. But I thought Magic and Larry in my lifetime was incredible. I thought the Michael Jordan trying to get over the hill, trying to get over the Celtics, trying to get over the Pistons, and then finally becoming the dominant player, incredible storyline. I think LeBron's been an hell of a storyline. I don't put him on the same level as Magic and Larry or Michael. But this to me, now Kawhi coming to L.A. to take LeBron James out, I think that could end up rivaling Magic and Larry and the Michael Jordan storylines. I haven't been this excited about an NBA season since, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, or whatever the hell, Rick Smits and the Pacers were contending, and Reggie Miller were contending for NBA championships. I cannot wait for this NBA season. I live here in Los Angeles. The number one story is going to be right here, 15, 20 minutes from my apartment. This is awesome.
Let me take a step back outside of this story. Also, another huge story. What's your take on earthquakes? You grew up in Indianapolis. You also have lived in Kansas City. I've been out here for the double earthquakes. You've been out living in L.A., I think, for 9 or 10 years. But the last several days, the earthquakes, last week in particular, pretty unnerving. What did you think about them in general?
Yeah, they were definitely unnerving and definitely have had me on the internet looking up, hey, what should you do in an earthquake?
Have you climbed underneath a desk yet? Have you adopted?
No. No, I'm not going to climb under a desk. If the building's going to fall, the building's going to fall. But, you know, I'm just, do I have water in my home? Do I have, you know, some soup or whatever, some food so I can survive for a few days? I've started looking up that. I haven't taken action yet, but I'm going to have some kind of little survival kit in case the big one or a major earthquake ever hits. But it's a little bit unnerving, but I can't spend my life worried about it. I still lived in Kansas or Missouri. There's tornadoes. You know, I survived a major blizzard when I was a kid in Indianapolis, where we were trapped inside of our apartment for what felt like a week. So, look, if you're going to go, you're going to go. Earthquake, tornado, car crash, whatever. Bus hitting you, it's going to happen. You can't avoid it.
We're talking to Jason Whitlock at Whitlock Jason on Twitter. By the way, if you haven't heard it, go listen to our Wins and Losses podcast. He was the first guest on the podcast, and I think you guys will love that. You, I think, enjoyed doing it. Feedback has been great for people who haven't heard it.
No, I really enjoyed that podcast. Someone made a good suggestion, Clay, in terms of someone needs to do a long-form podcast interview of you so people can hear your entire backstory. Someone tweeted that, I think, to both of us, and I thought, you know what, that would be good. And I'm, you know, maybe one weekend you need to turn the microphone over to me and let me interview you.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's do that. Let's plan on that down the line. Last question for you, and I appreciate the time here on Monday morning. People may or may not have seen Speak for Yourself yet. For everybody out there who's listening to us on the radio show, likes you, following you on Twitter, at Whitlock Jason, what pitch would you make on why they need to try out your television show and how can they find it?
Why would they need to listen to my show? Because I'm Nostra Whitlock. I got the inside information. Look, man, I think we're having a very honest, fun, unique conversation that's not catering to Twitter, that's really authentic. You know, I think a lot of stuff on television now is catered toward Twitter, and it's very dishonest. We're not having that discussion, and, you know, we're not taking ourselves too seriously. We're not getting out over our skis and trying to do too much. You know, we're not going to pass ourselves off as the authority on a certain subject or that unless, you know, we really feel like we have something. And so I just think Marcellus and I and Uncle Jimmy and Darnell are, you know, having the most fun you can have on TV while still having a unique, raw, provocative, honest discussion.
Outstanding stuff as always. Go listen to Jason Whitlock on that podcast. Watch him on television. FS1, good stuff. And follow him on Twitter at Whitlock Jason. Talk to you again soon, man.
Thanks, Clay.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
We now bring in the favored member of the Purple and Gold Nation. He is Danny G. And first, before we get to the Lakers, you were texting with me during all the earthquakes that we were having, in particular the one that we had on Friday. You've been out in L.A. for a long time. That was a big earthquake, right? Like, that was not a small interaction there.
No, not at all. And it's funny because Tinderoni with me at my place, and we had just got done, let me clean this up for our morning show, a Bible study. We just finished our Bible study, and things started rocking. Now, I'm in a high rise, so it
How many stories are you up?
I am three stories up.
Okay.
Which,
that's
you know,
not
doesn't
really
sound
a
like a
rise.
Lot.
Well, yeah, but, I was 15 stories.
Right. That's a
in
lot
a hotel.
But see, my building was built when Bob Hope was running Burbank, California.
Right. So, it's old school. It hasn't exactly been earthquake earthquake modified.
Exactly. Like, it looks nice on the outside, but when you're on the inside during an earthquake, you realize, uh-oh. Ruh-roh, they might not have made this, you know, to go to 2020 with earthquakes. So it was shaken. And as soon, and it lasted a long time. It was rolling. It was more of a rolling quake than it was where you just get jolted. And then you have others where it just feels like the earth is rolling all crazy underneath of you. Well, this earthquake, it was more of the rolling type. It lasted for what felt like a good 40, 45 seconds. Now, she was pretty scared. Just kept telling her, relax, it's all right. It'll go away. It's good. And she told me, do you think this is the same epicenter as yesterday? And I said, yeah, but this one was stronger. And this was my Whitlock moment. I told her, 7.1.
So you nailed it.
We go to our cell phones. Sure enough, 7.1, Ridgecrest, California, a naval base out there, which I've had the privilege of DJing for a hangar party several times for military night. And really nice people out there at the Navy base. And that was my first thought. Oh, crap. Thank God we don't have a big city out there in the desert, but I know we have those bases there for the Navy. So my first thoughts were, I hope they're okay there.
So let's go into the news itself breaking. Did you have notifications set up on your phone? Were you awake? Because it's late,
yeah.
Right? I mean, it's 2 a.m. on the East Coast. It's right around 11 o'clock Pacific time when this thing breaks. I said Scott Shapiro was the first person to text me, and he must have been like on this like crazy because he texted me like 5 seconds after it broke, and I had just checked Twitter a little while before that. What was your immediate thought?
Honestly, I wasn't surprised because it had taken so long. And last week when you and I were on the Dan Patrick show filling in for him, you actually laid out a reason why you thought it would make sense for Kawhi to go to the Lakers. So not to put you on blast, but you actually were trying to get into Kawhi's mind.
I made the argument to this is where I think I messed up, and we'll talk about this some an hour too. I just took silence to mean inaction. And I think sometimes we have this natural disposition to believe people who are talking the most are doing the most. And where I misthought, and we're going to start off hour two talking about this some, was I just thought when the Clippers were not involved in any of the leaks, when there weren't really any stories about their meetings and everything else, that was indicative of inaction as opposed to them just being what I think is the truth, incredibly disciplined.
Yeah.
And they were working on their process, but they didn't want it to all play out in the media.
I never wanted it to be a super team anyways. When you and Jason were together doing one of your road shows at the beginning of last week, I actually liked when you guys were laying out why the NBA would be more exciting.
It is much better that they didn't go to the Lakers.
For sure. And see, I don't want any haters because there's so many Laker haters. And you know this better than anyone. Success equals good for you, but you're going to have throngs of haters just because you're doing good. Well, look how many haters have come out of the woodwork the past 48, 72 hours all over the Lakers. It's almost like the media and people out there, sports fans, love to build the Lakers up high into the heavens just so they'll fall even harder onto the ground.
The moves that the Lakers make, all right, yep. And we haven't even talked about Russell Westbrook and what he must be thinking and everything else, but the moves that the Lakers have made so far, which ones do you like the most? How good do you think this team is? How optimistic are you?
I mean, I think that Vegas has the odds pretty much right where they should be.
And
right,
we're going to talk to Todd Furman, by the way, in hour two of this program to break down the latest on the odds. And we've got the final later this afternoon. We're taping the final year one show of Lock It In. So we have done, I think, 180 shows for Lock It In. If you haven't checked it out yet on FS1, we're going to be back for season two starting in August. I get a little bit of time off for television. So that'll be much enjoyed. But what would you say from a Laker fan perspective? You think about the moves they have made once Kawhi let the Lakers know that he wasn't coming?
Well, I like the Danny Green signing. I know they paid
they overpaid
a little bit.
Yeah,
but,
even at $15
million
a year.
But look, Seth Curry got $8
million. Yeah, but J.J. Redick, I think, only got $13
million. Terrence Ross got, what was it, $10 million? Something like in scrubs in the NBA are getting $10 million right now.
There's no doubt that the NBA, if you're fortunate enough to be on one of these rosters, that's good. What about Caldwell
Pope? I didn't mind that. I mean, that's the one where I kind of rolled my eyes a little bit because he's a clutch guy.
Yeah, and it feels like Rich Paul is taking care of him because of who his agent is.
Seemed more like a favor. I would have rather had Jamal Crawford with that money. But I think the Boogie deal is okay.
If he can stay healthy. I'm not sure he's got anything left.
Well, that's what he looked like in the end of the NBA Finals. Game two, he looked okay in the Finals, but obviously it didn't end well. But he's only 29. If he can get healthy, stay healthy, Lakers got a steal because they signed him for only $3.5 million.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's where you have to be cautiously optimistic, is you did not have to give very much money in general to him. So that certainly works in your favor, I think.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I am joined now by Lakers number one superfan, Danny G, by Jason Martin back in Nashville, sitting in with us here on Monday, helping out to break down all of this story. And before we get to Kawhi, I want to ask you, Jason Martin, how much attention have the earthquakes that we've all been surviving out here gotten in the rest of the country? Because I'm still blown away by the process of that we have the earthquake happen at 8:20 Pacific on Friday, and then we have a sports earthquake happen at around 11 Pacific. When you woke up, because you said at the start of hour two of the show that like you were asleep, like a lot of people were on the East Coast when this news broke, did you even see news about the earthquake, or was the Kawhi and Paul George earthquake news totally overshadowing the fact that this was the biggest earthquake, I think, in Southern California in like 20 years,
yeah,
right?
Since 1999, I want to say.
Yeah, that's crazy. So did you hear anything about the actual earthquake, Jason? And are you impressed that I now am extending my knowledge of natural disasters? I have, I'm already the snow czar. I'm one of the greatest experts in snow that there's ever been. I now have become an earthquake expert as well. I've been reading all about earthquakes.
I'm not going to comment on that last part, but in terms of
that I'm
how much coverage
expert,
it got,
I am. There are a few people.
You're not a seismologist.
I am basically a seismologist now. That's how much. That's how much attention I've been paying to earth. I mean, look, when you're on the 15th floor and your hotel twice in the space of a week starts rolling around like crazy, I mean, I felt like I was on a cruise ship or something. That's how much it was moving. I needed to know what to do. And by the way, the fact that the safest thing to do in an earthquake is get underneath a desk. That is
yes,
crazy.
It's awesome.
That's like,
it's
reminds
like a bomb,
me of my mom.
Bomb shelter.
Yeah, my mom said that when they were like really in fear of nuclear war, right, during back in the days of Russian Cold War and everything else, when she was a young girl, they would have nuclear war drills. And what they would do is get underneath their school desks. Can you imagine the response to nuclear war being, hey, what you should do is just get underneath your school desk? I mean,
yeah,
just...
the reason I think the whole point of that is just so the cute gals can't see you crying. That's the whole point. It's to give you a place to hide. It's not going to stop an atomic bomb or anything like
I
that.
I got to give credit, by the way. I had just requested an Uber because I was going out to dinner on Friday night, right before the earthquake started. And then the earthquake happens, and I'm, you know, like, my Uber's like 4 minutes away or whatever, and I'm not there waiting, and the Uber driver calls. He's like, dude, what's going on? Where are you? I'm like, did you not just feel the earthquake? We just got hit by the biggest earthquake in 20 years. I'm sorry, I'm going to be 1 minute late for my Uber ride outside of the hotel. I got to figure out to go down. I don't want to get stuck in the elevator or something.
That Uber's tough.
Yeah, that Uber man was a champ. We haven't even talked about this angle, right, of the overall story. What's going to happen now with Russell Westbrook? Because I think that's the final shoe that's going to drop, right? And obviously, Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant leaves him for California, and now Paul George has left him for California, and he's a Cali guy who re-upped in Oklahoma City. So where do you think he goes? Who makes that move? Is it the Knicks, who are desperate for relevance? Is this basically the end of Westbrook's career almost? I mean, he's got to be traded now. I mean, that had to be his immediate response when he saw this news come down.
I think Oklahoma City wants to let him go.
Yeah.
He's been there for 11 years. He couldn't win a title when he had Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Serge Ibaka all playing on the same roster with him. He couldn't win a title with an MVP candidate season from Paul George, where he did facilitate and let PG kind of be the number one guy throughout that deal. Well, you know, in the last hour, one of the things that I was talking about was cutting bait on superstars and not overpaying them at the wrong time or keeping them too long. Kemba Walker, get out of Charlotte. Blake Griffin, get out of the Clippers. This Russell Westbrook experiment has to come to an end now. You have 5 first-round picks if you're the Thunder. You get Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who is an all-rookie point guard, who I think has a really bright future in the league. You have to bottom out to try to get elite again, because what are you going to do now? If you couldn't win with the guys that I just listed around Russell Westbrook in his prime, Russell Westbrook now 30 years old and just getting older, who are you going to pair with him? You're going to go try to get Giannis? If you can pull that off, one, I don't think Giannis is going there. I think now you actually still have some value in Russell Westbrook for some of the franchises. I know Miami's interested. I know Houston, which would be a disaster. I can't even imagine him and Harden.
The only way Houston makes sense is, I mean, first of all, that you have 3 guys who have to have the ball all the time. And the 2 of the guys that have to have the ball all the time now with Chris Paul and James Harden already don't like each other. That
right.
seems like a recipe for utter disaster if Houston, of all teams, makes the move.
Yeah, no, I agree. But if I'm the Thunder, I want him gone because I know I can't win a title with him. Because if you put the guys that I just listened, you couldn't win. I mean, you can't get much better than that. And you have all these picks, so now it's time to get young and just start this whole thing over and rebuild. And part of that rebuild... Go ahead and fire Billy Donovan while you're at it, because he's a college coach, not an NBA coach.
Well,
one of the problems that you have is him and Scott Brooks.
There's going to be a massive pursuit of Billy Donovan at the college level, right?
And should be.
And I think you're right that basically if you're Billy Donovan, in addition to this being the end of Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma City, I think it's effectively the end of Billy Donovan in Oklahoma City too.
Yes. I think they try to keep Steven Adams around. They have a couple of other young pieces that they like. They like Shai. I think they will move Danilo Gallinari somewhere else. He's a veteran scorer that they can probably get a little bit more capital out of. And then they're just probably not going to be very good, but they have drafted well in the past. They have done a good job. I just don't think at this point you can look at this experiment, if you are the brass, if you're Sam Presti or anybody in that front office, and say, let's just find another superstar and we'll keep this thing going with Russell Westbrook. Eventually, I think you've maxed out what you can do with Westbrook. Either you keep selling tickets with him scoring 65 a game and say, you have the ultimate green light, we don't have anybody else, just go get the greatest stat line anyone has ever seen and make history for us, because we're not going to be relevant when we get to the NBA playoffs. Or you do what smart franchises do, which is cut bait with superstars a little too early rather than a little too late.
All right, Danny G, you are a Laker diehard. You said that you were awake when the news came down. And ultimately now you know you're ride or die with Anthony Davis and LeBron James. All the other moves, if you had to buy a team right now in terms of championship odds, would you bet on the Clippers or the Lakers? Can you be objective enough and point out that the Clippers are the better team?
Well, I think it's going to boil down to who can stay healthy.
Well, certainly. I mean,
but that's a huge part of this.
If what we just saw with Golden State, with the injuries that they just had.
Right.
LeBron now coming up on 35. I think you have to be a little bit nervous about him. But
AD has had injuries. But if you look at Kawhi Leonard, who had 22 games of load management, he still was banged up in the postseason. All right, and then Paul George, and you could speak to this, Jason Martin, being a Thunder fan. Paul George has been one of the most injured superstars we've had in the
league. Paul George missed a whole season when he was in Indiana. Kawhi Leonard missed a whole season plus when he was in San Antonio. And how do you feel for your Indiana, by the way? You draft Kawhi Leonard. Trade him for George Hill while you already have Paul George. You're about to watch your team in 2019 that you could have had back in 2010.
Yeah, I looked up how many games each of these stars played in their first seven seasons. Anthony Davis, 466. Kawhi, 407. Paul George, 448. LeBron James, 547. So all these guys, except for LeBron, but of course there's the age factor with him, they're walking injuries. We're going to go through this season, and it's going to be a really good battle because finally, look, as Laker fans, we heard this a few years back. Oh, the Clippers are going to start running the town because of Lob City. They're going to win a couple of championships in a row. No, it didn't happen that way. Clippers still have less banners than Taylor Swift at Staples Center. They pay rent
there.
It's the truth, though. They've always been the redheaded stepchild in Los Angeles. If you were to put the Buffalo Bills into Boston and you had the Patriots and the Bills, the Clippers would be the Bills. Okay, and it's great that they got two stars, but they still got to go out there and win. And
Clippers haven't made a Western Conference Finals in 49 years.
I'm surprised they've ever made one.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
The U.S. women win the World Cup and the men lose the Gold Cup 1-0. So I've got Danny G with me and I've got Jason Martin hanging out. So I want to bring in the crew and ask them this. Did you watch both games? Confession, I watched both games. I woke up, it was early on the West Coast, watched the first one from my hotel room, watched the other one, the Gold Cup, while I was eating dinner. And I know there's a lot of people out there who are going to use the results as evidence of U.S. women's soccer compared to U.S. men's soccer, but I actually left the U.S. men's game very excited about the future, primarily because I think Christian Pulisic is maybe the greatest men's soccer player already, and he's already doing things that others cannot. Now, you heard Todd Furman, if you listen to the whole show, in hour two discussing this, and I think that's a reason for a great deal of optimism. We already knew that our women were the best in the world. I didn't find the game against the Netherlands to be particularly exhilarating. I thought, you know, there was a bad play by the Dutch to give up the goal that Megan Rapinoe scored on. That was a rough kind of situation in general. But as you kind of break this down, did you watch both games, Jason Martin?
Look, I would have watched, honestly, I would have definitely watched the women's game, but it was Sunday, it was church, plus I had my show on Fox Sports Radio and another show that I did in Nashville, so I was trying to catch up on just a couple of hours' sleep yesterday. And the main reason I didn't watch the women's match, really, I just wasn't too enticed by the matchup. The problem for me was the France match was the one that I was super excited about and tuned in very carefully to watch. I also watched the Spain match, and I watched the England match. So it just felt like this one was a bit of a letdown. It felt like it was a foregone conclusion. And as for the men, I looked at some highlights, and I paid attention to kind of what was happening. And it looked like the first half, they had a lot of opportunities. They couldn't cash in, but they played a lot better. The second half, they got outplayed. But you're right, Clay. Pulisic should give a lot of people hope because it does feel like this team, this group, is moving in the right direction. There might be some holes to fill. There might be some guys on that roster that are going to need to be replaced. But I like what I'm starting to see from that unit. They are playing a lot better soccer than they were a couple of years ago. This unit actually feels like one you can get behind and actually get nervous again watching them play soccer because they actually have a chance to win a couple of these things.
Yeah, and not only that, I think what we've always missed in American soccer is we've needed a goal scorer. A guy who can energize people with his ability to kind of take control. Because I think uniquely, American sports are defined by superstars, and we love seeing someone who is one of us kind of taking control of a sport. And we've never really had that. You know, the guys that we've had, look, Clint Dempsey could score, but he was, he wasn't an electric player. Landon Donovan at times did do some things. His goal, I think, against Serbia, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was Serbia that put us into the next round in the World Cup down in South Africa, I think it was. I can't even remember all the time now. But I think you had moments that were incredible and exhilarating and extraordinary. But by and large, they've been few and far between. And when I watch Pulisic, I think, my God, this guy could be the greatest American soccer player of all time. Now, some people would say, well, that standard is not very high, but I think it is important to be raising the standard and continuing to grow it. Now, there's going to be a lot of people who want to divide us, and they're going to say, oh, the women are really good and the men stink. Well, again, I'll talk about this some tomorrow on the show, but by and large, the men are legitimately competing against the whole world. And the women are competing against a relatively small number of countries that are wealthy enough and provide enough women's rights for there to be large numbers of women that actually play sports at a high level in their country to begin with. What about you, Danny G? Did you watch both of these soccer matches?
Yeah, I did. My whole life I've been in on the World Cup. Love World Cup soccer. Now, I'm just a casual soccer fan, but it was great watching the women again hoist another trophy. And that goal by Rose Lavelle,
that was pretty outstanding.
Man, she's got next. Those moves she put on, I had a lot of fun watching that. And the men, they held tough. I know there were some backup Mexico players in there, but still, the men's team, we have some hope, as you guys have been pointing out, and that's good enough for right now.
I think building around Pulisic, I mean, he is, if you have the greatest player to ever play the game, and he's in your country, and he's young, and again, I'm not saying that he ranks very highly in the world at all, but there is the possibility that, assuming we can qualify for the World Cup in 2022 in Qatar, that we could be pretty solid if we're built around him over the next 3 years if he continues to get better. You don't know what his ceiling is, but already just in the limited amount of time that I've seen him playing for the U.S., he has gotten infinitely better.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.